Okay, so just a quick recap of what we did yesterday. So we're doing the Ravid. So the Ravid's facts are that the person says he's drinking beer, the bracha for beer shahakol, and hagafen does not work. That's the wine bracha, does not work for beer. But the person begins for the beer, he begins bracha toshem lekenu v'chol olam borei peri shakol yadvaro. So he catches himself after he says borei peri, and he changes it to shakol. Thank you. So the question is, does that mess it up? Do you say that since the borei peri was wrong, it messes it up and you can't retract? It's irretractable. Or you say no, that as long as and what would happen again? Of course, if you say you can't retract, so basically the beginning, Baruch Shem Nechololam, is going on the borei peri, which is wrong, and it's not going on the shakol, so that's it. You basically have shakol without any beginning. Or do you say, no, that the Baruch Shem Nechololam is going on everything? It goes on the shakol as well, and therefore it's good. So we said, but essentially the Ravid's point is he doesn't like saying that it just goes by your thoughts. Okay, he doesn't care about what you're thinking. It goes by what you say. Thinking doesn't affect anything in brachas, because brachas is shavach, praise, and praise goes by what's explicit and what's manifested, not just by thoughts alone. So he said is that the question, according to him, is, the way he defines it is, that how do you define the same question as before, is that does the opening have a character? Is the opening defined as the beginning of blank, or is the opening just an abstract praise of the Melech Olam, the King of the Universe? Okay, so if you say that it's the beginning of blank, then how does it get its character, beginning of blank? The other way, Rashi said it goes by what you're thinking. But the Ravid says he doesn't like going by thinking. Thinking isn't a category in praise. Rather, it goes by what you begin with immediately after the Elokim Melech Olam. So if you say Elokim Melech Olam, Borei Pri, so that manifests that what were you beginning? You were beginning Borei Pri. So therefore, the Baruch Hashem Mekenu Macholam was one, the beginning of the Borei Pri, because that's the first words you said. So it was the beginning of the grapes bracha. Oh, so now if you say Shahakol, so now your Shahakol doesn't have a beginning, because the beginning already had the character of the Borei Pri. Or do you say no, that the Baruch Hashem Mekenu Macholam is generic? It doesn't have a particular character, the beginning of, it's just the abstract recognition of God. And then you say you had that, who cares what you're thinking, and then you said Borei Pri, which was wrong, but then you say Shahakol. So you're including, so you have extra words in the middle of your bracha, but they are praise of God, and it's true they're not the significant, that's not what you're supposed to be doing, but it doesn't disqualify the bracha. So you have the beginning, and that's what it means, the beginning goes on both. It's going on the beginning, and it's going on Borei Pri and on the shakal. Okay, so that's how we define the question according to what's the name, right? According to the Ravid. Now, one other point that Matt asked about is the Ravid mentions, he has, let's say you do the other way around. Now, let me just make a point. So, according to the Ravid, why would it be bad? Why is it wrong if you stay Borei Pri? According to the Ravid, it says it's bad. So, he says it's because the beginning has a character. The character is one of grapes, of wine, the wine bracha. And then what? So, remember, Rashi said, so since that's the character, that then it's as if you finished with that. Right? Since the beginning is that, the beginning wins out over the end. Right? That's the way we had learned. That's the way Rashi spelled out. But according to the Ravid, I'll forget that. I don't think the Ravid's saying that. He doesn't say that. According to him, it's just because, and he says, because you simply don't have a beginning. You said Shahakol, but your Shahakol doesn't have a Baruch Hashem Kenu Ha'olam. So you know, the Shem U'Malchus was the Shem U'Malchus of the wrong Bracha. So basically, it's like you have a Bracha, which is lacking the opening. Okay, it's like an opening, because the opening was really an opening of a different character. So you need, in order for a bracha to be good, you have to have both things. You have to have two parts of a bracha. There's the opening, the beginning of the shakol, and there's the end of the shakol. And you can't have bracha without either one of them. So if you say that this beginning is the beginning of Borei Pri Gafen, so it turns out you never had the proper big opening. So therefore the thing is bad. You're missing your opening. That's what he says. He says it's like you don't have a shahakol in lo'ez kar v'lamalchus. So your shahakol doesn't have brachos Hashem Kenu Ha'olam, because that Hashem Kenu Ha'olam was on the Borei Pri Gafen. So simply you're lacking that component. So he doesn't say, though. He doesn't say the other way like Rashi. He doesn't say it's because it says if you finished. It's not as though if you finished. It's just that you're missing the ikar. You're missing the beginning. So with that in mind, I think you understand the last part of the Ravid, because the Ravid then says is, let's say You have a cup of... If you have a cup of wine, and you start off by saying, Baruch Ta Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Shakal Nidvar.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Sorry, again. You're holding a cup of beer, and you say, Baruch Ta Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol, Borei Pirgafen. Okay? Shehakol, Borei Pirgafen. So you start saying the right thing, but then you cut it off and switch to the wrong thing. So he says, that's not good. That's not good. Why? Even though the beginning was really was good because it was beer and you said you have the beginning, but you don't have the end. So the bracha has two components. He doesn't say you define. He's not learning you define one part by the other part. He's saying the bracha has two components.
Rashi
the
say beginning. Okay?
Well, the Rambam did. Yeah, because yes. In theory, Rashi, you could arguably Rashi would say that's okay.
Wow.
Because that's then if you learn it, there's a clash between the two, and the Iker is the main thing. The Iker will define it. That's the way the Rambam had it. The Rambam said it is okay. Yeah, definitely. Even if you didn't say shakol, if you just said but whatever. But according to that, then you have a question. But the Rav is learning simply there are two parts of a bracha. There's the beginning and there's the end, and they both have to be one of the beer. So if you don't finish it, then it's bad. And if your beginning is the beginning of Bar Pi Gafen, then it's also bad. Right? So that's it. So if you say that as a character, then you need them both. If you say it doesn't have a character, then it doesn't matter what you're thinking in the beginning, and as long as you have the end. Okay, so that's why your question, Matt, from yesterday was assuming Rashi's on the Rivet, you know what I mean? So I realized, I looked at it carefully. He doesn't say that, and also, you know, and then it just works out. It's the way which naturally you would have said. The Rivet's in a certain sense a simpler way. We just kind of, because we did Rashi, we kind of, you know, thought of it that way.
Yeah.
We're saying Ravid's the same as Rashi in the way he defines the machlok. The question is whether the beginning of the Iker has a character or not. But if it does, the way it disqualifies it is different. According to Rashi, so then you have two characters, the Iker at the beginning and the end, and the beginning wins out. Whereas according to Ravid, it's not that. It's just that since there's a character, the Iker has to be proper and the end has to be proper. It's not winning out. You just have to have both of them proper. Okay, so that's basically just finishing off from yesterday. We're going to move on now to the Ramban today. Okay, are there any hanging questions? Okay, so now today's Ramban. It's a whole new thing. So if you're not following, you're fine. So the Ramban learns the Gemara differently. In a certain sense, it's almost the opposite. Okay, not quite, but almost the opposite. Okay, so the Ramban is in the Melchemes Hashem. It's again on Daf Vav Amud Beis in the Daf Aref. If you don't have it, I'm going to translate. It says, "V'kachi hatzah shel Shmu." It's the first wide line. Okay, so he says this is basically the punchline. Okay, this is the way it goes. Pshita hichadunaka kasa dechamer biyadev ksever deshekrahu. So if you're holding a cup of wine, simple that if you're holding a cup of wine and you think it's beer, ubarach pulashem elokeinu chalom shakol niyavet dvara bori pri agafen. Okay, l'fish yergish miyad shekoshi ayinu. So basically, you say it's beer. I'm sorry, it's wine, and you say, the whole shakal nira, the whole rebbe gafen, definitely that's good. Because, because shakal works for wine. Even if you still stop that shakal, that would work. So it's not going to, so if you just stop a shakal, you're fine. And if you say that your change works, then you change it to the right thing. So either way, whether if your change works or your change doesn't work, you're going to be okay. Because shakal works, so if you say you can't change it, it's too late. You're fine. And if you say you could change it, so you change it to the right thing, so it's also fine. Fine. If you feel the same as shikra, nami, that's fine. Inami, or another case which is simple, nakir kasa de shikra biyade. If you hold a cup of beer, bore periha gafen, shakol niabidvaro, yatsa, shari chosro, miyad, tokede dibor, the same chosro kuroi. Okay, so he's saying is that this is the Ravid's case. If you're holding a cup of beer and you say shakol niyavidvara, I'm sorry, borei pri agafen, shakol niyavidvara. So you catch yourself. You say the whole borei pri agafen, but then you catch yourself. It's fine. Well, the whole borei pri agafen and then the whole shakol. Says you're fine because you retracted. And in speech, you have a right to retract. Right? You have a right to retract your speech. So you retract it. And he doesn't hold by this idea, presumably, of the character, that you've given the opening the character and it's too late. He just says, apparently he doesn't hold by that. So he just says, you said the wrong bracha, but you retracted, and you corrected it. So you started off right period of, but then you corrected it to shakol, and you're fine, it's beer, and you're fine. But Vinesha Hosefba and I, you have in the middle of your bracha this random bar period of gafen. Lo pasal, it's not going to disqualify it. So basically you're just saying is that God is a God who created grapevines and everything. Okay, fine. So basically the point is you have to say shakal everything. So the grapes in the middle, it's true, you're not supposed to say that, but it's not going to disqualify the bracha. So you're attracted. This thing in the middle there is just doesn't hurt you. Ella, but this is the case. Pasal kaza the shikra, so you have beer. And you start making off shakal, the right bracha. Vita'a v'chazarbo v'siyem v'dechamra. Kigon sh'ama shakal v'vorobor p'yagafen. So you start off saying shakal. Shakal is the correct bracha. You say it 100% correct, and then you mistakenly think that you erred, and therefore you change it and say bor p'yagafen. So again, you say v'rotan sh'ama shakalam shakal v'dvaro bor p'yagafen. Because you go back. And the question is, does that disqualify it? Mai. Do you go by the essence, v'yatza, and you're good, you're satisfied, shekvar hishlim b'chaso kehalacha, because you finished the bracha properly. V'chazara b'taos, shechazar v'siyim, shlokaroi lo, v'chazara l'pasla. And the fact that you went back mistakenly and finished it improperly doesn't count to disqualify your bracha. You said shalom devaro, freeze frame right there, you're yotze. I don't care what you say after that. Too late, you're yotze. It means you fulfilled the obligation. Or do you say no, that even there you go by what you finished with, and since you finished with Bar Piagafen, you changed it, so it's too late. You lose. Okay? And you lose the bracha. Okay, so that's the question. Okay, so David's saying, what's the difference? If the Ramban holds you could retract, then you could retract. So if you say that retractions count, so then you can, and that's why it's good if you did it improperly and you retract, you could correct it. So why don't you say that if you did it properly and you retract, then you disqualify it? What's the difference? Maybe it's simplistic, but isn't this just a simple way to look at it? Is, look, that's it. Shakal Nidvaro, stop. Right then, your chiyuv goes away. Right? In other words, you have an obligation, and the second you finish those words, so now you've dispensed, you know, your obligation. You dispense of your obligation. So that's it. So now what's the problem? So if the other way, so if you do it wrong, so now you still have an obligation, and now, you know, it's not like it's wrong and that's it. The whole bracha explodes and whatever. It's that you still are awaiting realization, right? The bracha is, you're awaiting the fulfillment of your obligation. So now you retract, so you can fulfill it. But if you say it properly, so the second you finish the bracha, so now that's it. The chiyuv goes away. Because the whole chiyuv, the whole obligation is based upon, it obligates you to say this text. And I said that text. So now that's it. So your obligation goes away. Now you just say random words, shakal nivara, whatever, bar piagafen, whatever. You already fulfilled, the obligation already is fulfilled at that moment. Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying, isn't it? It's just like a simple, I mean, you could argue with it. Obviously there's a question here, but there is a sense to that argument, right? Is that when you're... That sounds like what he's saying almost. He says, since you finished the kehilchasa, right, since you finished it properly, you already completed the bracha according to the halacha. You don't say that you can now retract it to disqualify the thing. The thing is already complete. So you can't undo the bracha, take it back, and disqualify it. Like, once you're fulfilled it, it's an obligation, which once it's fulfilled, it's fulfilled. It's all over. But when you haven't fulfilled it, so now you're still awaiting fulfillment, so now you can change it. If you go with that, I mean, if you buy that, I mean, there's a certain sense to the argument, which is, look, you're already fulfilled, you're already yotze, you're fulfilled in the obligation, and that's it. So then the question is, what's the other side, right? What's the other side?
For which case? The case.
So you're just saying it's far. So the idea is like this, is that, now how does Tov Dedibor work? How does Tov Dedibor work? Do you say that Tov Dedibor is like a right of retraction? It's like you have a right of correcting. Whatever you say, you have a right to retract, to correct. So he says that, right? If you say that way, then what we're saying is good. Is that, yeah, that if you make a mistake, you correct it. But if you said it correctly, so then your obligation is this is fulfilled, and that's it. Now you can't, you're right. There's no room for a right. That's it. You already fulfilled the obligation. Right? You're already yotzei, so there's no room to correct. Correction means we still have the obligation, so now you can correct it. But once the obligation disappears, because you've already fulfilled it, there's no room for correction. Or do you say, that's the first way, or do you say no, is that Tok de Dibor means that it's a principle about Dibor, that in Halacha, Dibor is, so to speak, is defined with like, Dibor only registers when it goes uncorrected. if a person speaks and he lets it go for a few seconds, then it's, so to speak, he agrees to the dibur. But dibur is always changeable. Dibur is not locked in until you let it go. I give an example, like on the radio, it's like, you know, you have an 8 second or whatever second gap where you could bleep anything out or whatever. So the idea is, like, it's not official until you allow it to go. So that's the nature of dibur, is that dibur registers halachically after it goes uncorrected. But that's tok de dibur. It means it's like while you're still talking. It means that any dibur is always tentative. And it's if you correct it within the time, so then it's as if you never said it. Okay, it's, you've corrected the dibur. It's actually a correction mechanism. So if that's the case, so then you can't say Amor Az Radi Yotze, because I said Shakalim Udvaro. Yeah, but that, if I correct that within my gap, within that second, so then I didn't say Shakalim Udvaro. The Shakalim Udvaro didn't have the status of dibur. It only gains the status of dibur, of speech, when it goes uncorrected. So since you corrected beforehand, so it's like you can't say I already fulfilled it. No, you fulfilled it if you have a dibor of Shakan Varo. But you don't have a dibor because within Tokhli Dibor, within the amount of time you retract it. So it's basically like you didn't say it. But that's if you say that Tokhli Dibor defines your dibor. So like it means that dibor is defined by that which you consent to. But the other way is say, no, dibor is dibor. But it's just that you have a right of retraction. Your right of retraction, so that's very nice, but a right of retraction isn't gonna harm you if you already fulfilled the obligation.
Then joking aside,
as you could summarize it, is when I say words, Shakal Nivaro, is my dibor complete instantaneously, but I have a right to retract? Or do you say, no, my dibor is only completed when I let it go, when I leave it, when I consent to it through my non-retraction? So if you say that it's completed immediately, and it's just that I have a right to retract, so then it's completed, so I'm yotzei my bracha, and that's it. So this I can't disqualify it after it's already done. But if you say that my dibur is only completed, only registers when I don't retract through my consent, so then here, since I consent within tokhtei dibur, it's like I didn't say that. So you can't say I fulfilled my obligation. So I have a different idea, different score. The one question you could ask on this, I don't think it's necessarily a problem, but it would maybe give preference to a different svara, is that it's a universal question about Tokhidei Dibor. Okay, which is, it's on the surface, this is a sugya about brachos and about shavach and about, you know, about the beginning, the chasim of the brachos, the psil, about how it's an area specifically in brachos, and presumably this would have applicability. It's not a local chakira, it's a question of, it's a universal question. So in general, if you make a chakira dependent on the area in particular, as opposed to going universal, it's better. Okay, I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, sometimes that's the way it goes, you know, but it's just smoother. By the way, there's another problem, actually, which is, I'm not sure if it's a problem, but these are the things I mentioned yesterday, which is like, you see, there are exceptions of Tokhidei Dibor, which are like Megadev, when you curse towards God, or if you, by a neder, right, by a vow. And by them, you don't say Tokhidei Dibor. You say, look, once you said it, you said it. So, it's a little, you're going to have to say, I mean, so if you say it's like a rite of attraction, you say there's no room for whatever reason, there's no room for attraction there. But if you say it's like speech, this is a rule of speech. But I mean, I guess you could just, you'd have to say that that's not a din of dibur per se. This is a din of speech. By speech, this is the principle of speech. But that's not a din of speech. Like by neder, it's a din of afla, which is an expression of your thoughts. It's a different idea. You'd have to introduce, like, it's a different category. And by megadev, I don't know, you have to introduce. I mean, you'd have to explain it. I'm not saying you can't, but you'd have to. It's only where, it doesn't mean by words, it means by dibur. But bracha is dibur, bracha is speech. Halachically, that's the category which bracha partakes of. But those things you'd have to show. I mean, anyways, those are difficult because why? I mean, those are problems, anyways. I mean, why does the dibur work? I mean, you know. So, but you'd have to somehow show how it's not really dibur, but it's a different category. So it's fine. It's not a problem. It's just something you have to work out.
Yeah.
But I think the first point is that the question here is not, it doesn't seem to be asking a universal question about Tokhidei Dibor. It seems to be asking a question about bracha. You know. So it would be better if you could localize the question. Fine, but it's a good svar. I mean, we'll talk about them maybe both in contrast afterwards. But it's a very good idea, though. I like the idea. Yeah, so I'm thinking like this, is that maybe the question is that what's our point? Our point is that, look, Yotze, you fill the obligation. The second is, again, I'm answering the second side. The first side is good. The first side says, once you say, Shakon Bidvaro, boom, the obligation disappears. And there's nothing to retract on. The Dibur can't hurt you. See, but you could say is that that's good. That would be good in speech alone. But this is a category of shavach. This is a category of praise of God. See, and in praise, as we mentioned, I think, earlier, is that praise, so to speak, predates the halacha. So to speak, like Avraham Avinu, before the Torah mitzvahs were given, before 613 and before Sinai, there was an idea of praising God. Praising God is an intrinsic idea in a human being. Okay, it's an intrinsic category of a person. And praise of God is a reality beyond the technical obligations. Like, the idea of praise is not contingent upon an obligation of praise. Praise is a human activity. The human being is involved in praising God. And insofar as the human being praising God, if you look at bracha as an action, not just as like a halachic, see, if you look at the thing as a halachic obligation, just in a technical, halachic, legalistic obligation, the second you say that word, bidvaro, it disappears. And I'm simply, that's it, it's all over. But you could say a bracha is not just a technical obligation, a bracha is a human being involved in praise of God. And so far as a human being is involved in praise of God, when he can't say it ceases the second he says the word bidvaro. If he retracts, then if you'd have to ask the guy at the end of the day, what was your praise? He'd say, I gave the praise of wine, of very big oven, because I retracted. So he's saying is that the framework of shavach, that's his question, is that when it comes to, in other words, you're dealing here with an institution of praise, of shavach, which is, but it's not just abstract, it's halacha. It's halacha chiyav, it's halacha chiyav of bracha, it's an obligation to say bracha. So the question is, how do you measure that institution? Do you treat it like an ordinary halachic obligation, technical legalistic obligation, because it is halacha, it is a chiyav, and it's part of the halachic system, and therefore it's treated as such? In which case you say the second you dispense your obligation, it disappears, and it's basically, it's history. Okay, like the second you shake your lulav or whatever, that's it, it's over. Right? The second the thing, that's it, it's over. What do you say is that since this obligation is to be involved in shavach, in praise, and praise is a human institution which doesn't cease the second you say the word bidvaro, but the person's praise is continues. And if the person, what was he doing when he said b'pir gafen? The person, in terms of the government shabayach, in terms of the praiser, he basically was giving a praise by the chasima. The chasima, what he concludes with is really his praises, because he's correcting it. He's correcting his speech. So if you say, what praise did he give? He says, oh, I gave a praise very often. That's what he did, because he corrected it. It's true he said those words, but it's true. If you want to look at it very technically, you'll say, he said that, and he's out. But that's if you're looking at it and just in a technical, legalistic framework. But you could say that that's inappropriate to apply to the chiyuv of shavach. The chiyuv of shavach says the human being has to give a certain praise. So it's not just dibor. I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. Maybe this is the way to look at it. Is shavach simply halacha of dibor, that you have to say these words? Okay? That's the halacha. Is the brachiv of bracha, say these words. Say these words, that's it. Yes. Or do you say shavach isn't just words? Shavach is that the person has to give a certain praise. And to give a certain praise, if you retract, so then that's not the praise you give. You know what I mean? So then the praise, if you say the obligation is like formalized as a text, utter this text, the second you complete the text, that's all over. But if you say that the obligation, you can't formalize shavach. Shavach means the human being has to be involved in the praise of God. Then the praise of God is hanging, and you have to say, what praise did he give? So if you retract, then that's the praise that he gave. So you say, in terms of dibor, that's it. It locked it in. But this isn't that type of a thing. This is a praise. This, you can't formalize it as a technical legalistic structure. Rather, it's the idea of that the gavra has to give the shavach of shaklan mitvaro, and he didn't. He gave the shavach of berpir gafen. You can't just cut it off and say, he's fulfilled. That's a very halachic move, but you could say the nature of shavach doesn't lend itself to that type of analysis. Yes, I mean, it's a little hard, but he's going to have to say, ikar bracha means, He says the halachic structure, the halachic bracha, the ikar bracha is exactly what halacha says you have to say. So the ikar is this, shlim brachoso, kerul halacha, kel chaso. So the ikar of the bracha means that the ikar of the bracha is bracha shakal name with varon. You go by that, and since you said that, that's it. Or do you go by the chasima, means that he'll say the chasima of the gavra, what the gavra was chosim with. In terms of the shavach, what was he chosim with? It's chosim with, but it's all together. I mean, the Ramban is doing all things. The problem is on the Ramban is that a lot doesn't fit so great with the Gemara. But it's hard to know. I mean, we just assumed Iker means the beginning because we were just like Rashi is learning.
Right.
But, I mean,
no, I agree with the way you're reading Iker. Yeah. So you're saying
Chasima. Chasima means over what you ended with. I mean, as we said, that's what it means. Practically, it means it goes by what you ended with. The Chasima doesn't mean beginning and end of the bracha. Does it go by the ikar of the bracha, means the structure, or does it go by the chasima you ended with? That's the case here. You ended it wrong, so the chasima is recognized. Or do you say no? I don't care what you ended with, because the ikar of the bracha halachically is the shakal nivar. And you said the shakal nivar. I'm saying the riff, the different gersos and what it says. But the one side is the ikar or psicha. Ikar is the essence, and psicha is the beginning, the opening. So definitely, opening would not be good for him. You say opening versus closing, it's not to do with opening and closing, but you say ikar, he'll say, means the ikar means the halachic, halachified dibor of the bracha. The ikar means is what, within the idea of the person of Shavach, the Torah isolated out the ikar. It's very nice, the Gemara Shavach is very nice, he's giving a big praise, but halachically, these 10 words or whatever are the ikar, and that's the fine, that's what the halacha goes by, and everything else, whatever he does afterwards doesn't register. What do you go by? No, you should go by what he ends with. And since he ends with more, the Gavra record involves more than just those words. Just to spell out, I'm learning, like, Yudhisvara was a question of Tokhti Dibor. Is Tokhti Dibor a right of attraction, or is it a principle Dibor is only locked in after you delay? I'm saying that here, everyone says it's the first way. Tokhti Dibor is a right of attraction. And therefore, you shouldn't, in general, you'd not be able to attract. Once you fulfill the obligation, you wouldn't have a right of attraction. That's the way Tokhti Dibor works. But it's too late. Once you fill it, it's too late. But that's in the framework of Dibor. So if you say Shevach is a halacha of Dibor, of speech, so then you'll say it follows that pattern. Once you fill the speech, so you filled it. What I'm saying is, you could argue that Shevach isn't a din of Dibor. The Shevach is the phenomenon of a person involved in praise of God, praise. And the framework of Shevach doesn't go by the strict technical wording that you said. It goes by the praise, and if you attract, you attract. So I'm saying the question is, I'm not saying it's a question about Tokhti Dibor, it's a question about how Shavach works. Does it operate by the ordinary principle of Tokhti Dibor? Is it a halachified idea of Dibor, of just speech, or is it a more abstract idea of praise? It's not just less technical. Whereas your way of learning is the question is, Shavach is just the generic Dibor. That's you're assuming that side of my way. And Shavach is just Dibor. But the question is how does what's the mechanism of Tokhti Dibor in general? Mm-hmm. It's a universal question about Tokhti Dibor. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying that I'd favor my way because it's assuming about Tokhti Dibor, and it's a question about Shavach, which is the area issue at hand. But I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, I'm not saying that necessarily means it's right. I'm just saying it's simpler. But I guess, I mean, it could be if you do Sugya Tokhti Dibor, you'd see that the other way is. You know, I mean, so it's hard to know. I mean, without really going into all the Sugya Tokhti Dibor, we're a little bit in there, like David's mentioning. I mean, but not in all the Sugya, so it could be as the more Sugya you do, I mean, you end up seeing other ideas. So,
yeah.
Either way, it kind of hinges on that. According to Huda, he's making it a question in that. I'm not making it a question in that, but I am assuming something about that. I'm assuming one way. So it's, you know, everyone's, there's not, you know.
Yeah.
The next thing we're going to do is we're doing in the Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah is on Vav Amud Aleph. And he explains, Rashi, he explains the according to Rashi, okay, and he's fine with it. And then he says, the line begins, Yatza. First of all, it's like, I don't know, it's like four lines before the paragraph, Amnon. It says, Lufizeh ha-perishyesh leshal. Okay, 1 second. Yeah, basically, right. Basically, his basic question is going to be, well, who cares about what you're thinking? That's basically his question. Who cares what you're thinking? Mitzvah Saint Shil's Kavana. We don't care about what you're thinking in any new mitzvahs.
Like the Ravid, right?
Kind of like the Ravid, but he asks us a question and gives answers. He doesn't see, he doesn't not.
He concludes it's okay.
He agrees with it. He's just saying he's learning, he's asking according to Rashi, how, why, who cares
about it. He wants to justify it.
And he gives two answers. He brings in down two answers. Haigon. Sorry, not one answer. You'll see. Here's one answer, and then Rabbeinu Shmuel. Okay, until the Rambam. Okay, it's two paragraphs. It's a little bit. Until the Rambam. Okay, what's that? In the Rabbeinu Yonah. and many on us. So it's again, it starts at Lefizeh Pirashiyesh Lashol, and it goes through basically up until the Rambam. I mean, I don't know how much we'll see, how much we'll do tomorrow. There's two different answers, so let's take them one at a time.